Amen. But we're just blessed, and we've had great friendship together, great ministry together, and just so thankful for the connections that God puts in our life. So it's our pleasure this morning. I want you to welcome my dear friend, Pastor Dennis Tucker, as he comes this morning and brings the word.
After all these years, Don still turns me on. It's good to be here today. It's good to have my wife of 44 years with me this morning. And we're excited to be married and still like each other. It's one thing to be married. It's something else to like each other. So I'm into the whole like each other part myself. But it's good to be here. I always enjoy coming to be with Don and Sue. And I want to say thank you for the room that you guys provide and the basket. And Don and Sue took us out to a nice meal last night. And it's always a blessing to come here. And we enjoy being with your pastors. I'm going to be ministering along the line this morning. I'm sure you all are very familiar with. I'm not going to come here and say something you haven't heard. Your pastors are wonderful speakers and give you the truth. And so for some of you, it might just be a watering. And for others, maybe it'll be a sowing of some kind. But I believe God will bless our time together. He never disappoints. And so I'm glad to be here. If you have your Bibles, let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. And I've only been elbowed once this morning, so I'm in good shape. I mean, I said something and my wife elbowed me, so I know. She always lets me know you're on that edge there, Dennis. You need to. But it's good to be here and serve the Lord. Amen? There isn't anything else I want to do but serve the Lord and live for Him and finish my race that God has put out there in front of me. We're going to start with 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to start with 11 through 13. Beginning of the year, I felt like the Lord kind of put it on my heart to talk to people about this being a year of open doors. And when I use the word open door, what I'm really talking about is a year of opportunity. And I believe every year is opportunity. I believe I get up every day with opportunity. I believe every year is filled with opportunity from God. But this year, I really wanted to focus in on making people aware that opportunity is available, that God has opportunity for your life. Sometimes in our society, we can sit and listen to the negative so long we start losing our hope. And we start wondering if our future is going to be any good. And so we begin to start pulling back. And if we're not careful, we start trying to hoard or keep or, you know, hang on to instead of knowing that God is, He's faithful. He's faithful in the good times. He's faithful in the bad times. He's always faithful. And so we want to be very aware of that in our lives. So when I talk about, when I told my people, when I mention open door, I'm talking about opportunity. There's going to be opportunity this year. And I want you to enjoy, inherit those opportunities. Because one thing I've learned over the years is sometimes we don't receive the opportunities in our life, sometimes because we're in the wrong place. And sometimes because we're looking in the wrong place. We want to make sure that we're in a position to receive what God has for us. And so I've got, it's really a series, but I'm trying to present something this morning that I believe I can bring it together. Let's keep it simple for the Okie. Bring it together and hopefully you can leave here with something. But let's go with 1 Corinthians 13 and 11. It says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child and thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away the childish things, and I'm still working on that. We go to a dairy to get our milk, and so we'll be driving out there to get the milk, and the way we go, we always go by this little sign, and it says, bump ahead. So we'll go around the sign, and I'll go over and bump my wife in the head, you know. So this last time we went around, and I saw the sign, I said, I'm thinking about it. You know, it's like, I'm trying to get rid of those childish things. You know what I mean? I still have childish things in me, and I haven't become totally and completely victorious in it. It says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. Now abides faith, hope, and love, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Now, I want to just throw this out there, give you a definition. When I use the word today, when I use the word faith, I want you to think of trust and confidence. I want you to think of trust and confidence. Because, you know, sometimes when we use terms out of the Bible, we just spiritualize it. You know, for some people, I grew up thinking righteousness meant holiness. I just really had a good understanding of it. I thought of holiness. And when I learned that righteousness was my standing with God purchased by Christ, it changed my whole view of what righteousness really is. I'm righteous because of Jesus. You know, I'm holy because I make decisions to follow Jesus, you know, and that's what makes the difference. But my standing is in Christ, in Him alone. I have two truths working in my life that never change. One is all that I have and all that I get comes out of my right standing with God through the work of Jesus. But I have an eternal desire and purpose to live and serve God. I'm not here to play with the world and expect to inherit all the goodness that God has for my life. I have it, it's all available, and I'm going to inherit it by the walk of my life. I'm going to follow Jesus. Amen. I'm going to follow Christ. And that's how I'm going to live my life. Following the Lord. And so when I say faith, I want you to think of, you know, trust and reliance in God. You put your trust in Him. Amen. And when I use the word hope, I want you to think of expectation, an expectation. We all have expectations. Some of us expect to fail. Some of us may expect to win. Some will expect to die young and some will expect to die old. Expectancy. But Bible hope is an expectancy with pleasure. Because it's always connected to something good. Bible hope is always connected to something good. It's an expectation of something good coming into my life. And the last one is love. Love, in the King James Version of the Bible, it uses the word charity. Because this word love means a giving love. It's a love that gives. It's manifested in John 3:16. God so loved, He gave. It's not phileo, it's not human love, and there's about four words that's used for love in the Bible. But this one is talking about a giving love, a love that gives without any type of you earning or deserving or any. It's a love based totally on the one doing the giving. And so when we mention love in this passage of Scripture, it's talking about a love that just gives. You know, it's like, I love you because you're pretty. That's not the love we're talking about. I love you because you give me money. That's not the love we're talking about. I love my monster truck. You know what I mean? That's not the love we're talking about, right? I love steak. You know, that's not what we're talking about. This is a love that gives for no other reason than it's its desire to give. So when God says, now abides these three, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love, it's because I believe the greatest, because love is God, and God is love. Amen? God is the source of all true giving love. And so I want you to just kind of have a little bit of a definition. So when I'm talking about faith or I'm talking about these things, you'll know what I'm talking about, okay? So go to Hebrews 11, chapter 1. And did I start? What time did I start? Does anybody know? I don't want to hold you too long because, you know. In Hebrews 11, and I know you've heard this over the years. I know your pastor has ministered on this. But I want to read it to you this morning. In Hebrews 11 in verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of the things we hope for. It is the evidence of the things not seen. And so faith, our trust, our confidence, and our reliance upon God is the substance or the support of the things we hope for. and what we're expecting with expectation, right? The word support there means undergird, to hold up. I can always tell what you're expecting because your mouth will give you away. If you're truly in faith, you're going to speak it. I don't have faith because I say faith things. I say faith things because I have faith. See, some of us think if I just get my confession right, then things will go out. No, you got to get your heart right. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so I use this illustration, and you may have heard it. When I was a kid growing up, we lived out in the middle of the desert. We didn't have power, and we had lights that were kerosene. Well, we had kerosene light, and it had a wick that went down into the oil. And at night, my mom would light the wick, and the globes were clean. It would put off light and all those things. Well, the wick, all the wick did was wick up what was in the globe. You understand what I'm saying? The container that held the oil. Your tongue just wicks up what's in your heart. That's all it does. It does not. The power of your tongue is the power of your heart. And so when we fill our heart with the promises of God and the goodness of God, then when we speak, it's going to naturally come out. But some of us want to try to change the way we talk without changing what's in our heart. And if we fill our heart with the world and fear and worry and stress and chaos, that's what's going to come out of our mouth. And I get around too many Christians that talk like they don't know God. They know who's president. They know who's running for president. They know the interest rates. They know the price of gas. I mean, we got gas this morning. We paid like, $5.60 or $5.47 or something. Something insane, you know. But I serve a big God and he can afford it. And so I told people years ago, whatever the price is, I'm going to drive because I don't plan on walking. I walk when I want to walk. I don't walk because I have to walk. That's two different things. So I just believe God will meet my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus because I have the promise. Amen? And so we want to understand that what's going to support our hopes and our expectations is our faith, our confidence in God. Now, I believe I'm going to keep driving. How can you have confidence? Because I have a promise from God. Remember Paul told the people in Philippi, he said to them, my God shall supply all of your need. And what I hear is the God I know, the faithful God I know will meet all of your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Therefore, he was giving them a promise based solely upon the faithfulness of God that would give them the expectation that the hope would come to pass because God, faith in God would hold the hope until it manifested. Amen. I don't know if that made any sense to anybody but me, but it made sense to me. But the thing is, our hope has to be built on the promise of God. Many people can never get healed because they're too caught up in the outcome. They're too busy caught up in the outcome instead of being caught up in the promise. I never tell people I'm getting healed. I tell people I'm healed because Jesus told me I'm healed. I'm healed because he bore my sickness. He carried my diseases, and by his stripes, I am healed. So I say I'm healed because he said I'm healed, and the outcome is on him, not on me. And when the symptoms doesn't change immediately, if you're not basing your hope on the promise of God, you're going to change over to what your symptoms are, and you'll start saying things like, why doesn't God heal me? Well, one reason is because you just said he won't. So what we got to do is not get caught up in the outcome. We got to hang on to the promise because our hope is based on the promise. And so if I'm walking in my confidence, my trust, my reliance upon God, it's going to keep my hope safe and secure and firm because it's based on God's promise and his promise alone. But if I base my healing on my symptoms or this changing or that changing and it didn't change fast enough and I didn't get it good enough and it didn't work out that way. No, you got to stay with the promise of God and let God deal with the outcome. Because one thing I've learned over the years is I can't heal myself. Jesus is the healer. Amen. Jesus is the healer. So he has to do the healing. I just have to do the believing. I just have to keep my hope supported by my faith. So what the enemy comes against to me is not my hope. He comes against my faith. Because if my faith wanes, then my hope wanes, and then I don't receive the promise. And hope deferred makes the heart sick. And there's a lot of sick Christians because their hopes have not manifested. See, we got to keep it. So faith is my confidence, my trust, my reliance upon God supports my expectation. Amen? And even though I can't see the healing or the financial blessing or whatever, and I use things that are real in this life, one thing I've learned over the years is you can have everything, but if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. It's how it is. When you don't have your health, it's the only thing that matters to you. Your health is what, and so I think health is important. And I think having finances is important. I thought it was pretty interesting how the ladies received the offering. I thought, that is a good thought. I'm so used to giving my wife money, it's just normal. It's just normal. I'm always in trouble. She's just gracious. My wife is very gracious. I want you to know that. But so when I talk about here in Hebrews 11:1, when I say faith is a substance, my confidence in God is supporting my hope until what I'm expecting, what I can't see today, becomes reality. And so I have to keep my faith built up. Amen. And we know faith comes only by one way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible tells us, and we're going to read it this morning, is we're to feed on God's faithfulness. The word of God is a constantly reminding us of how faithful God is. And we got to build that into our heart, the faithfulness of God, that God is truly, truly faithful. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Y'all good this morning? Yeah. Galatians chapter 2. And let's look at verse 19. You know, I think sometimes we make this all too complicated. If we keep it into the word, we're going to be okay. I'm very grateful for the grace of God. And now I give everything a definition. To me, grace is the work of Jesus. It's all that Jesus did. And it's mine to have. It's mine to enjoy. I'm going to say something here, and if Brother Pastor doesn't agree, he can fix me. He can fix it. But I don't believe God has to give me anything because God has already given me everything. He's given me everything. I don't go to God and ask Him for things. I go to God and thank Him for the things. The Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 8, he said that we are heirs to God and joint heirs with Jesus. And the word joint means equal or co. And I know that's hard for us to wrap. It's hard for me to wrap my head around. Okay. But then in Hebrews chapter 1, it says this, that Jesus has inherited all things. Now think about that. Jesus inherited all things, and I'm an heir to God and through Jesus Christ. I'm an heir to all the things. So it's not a question of getting the things. The things are already there. It's a question of walking into my inheritance. And I walk into my inheritance because I stay on the path that God has preordained for me to live, enjoying the good life. And so we want to just inherit what's on. See, because God never meant this to be a struggle with Him to get things. Our struggle is to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. In other words, keep fighting to stay, keep your trust, your confidence, and your reliance upon God. Amen. The enemy wants to come and he wants to get you off your faith, because then he gains the advantage and now you're on his territory, his ground, because he's out there where the doubt is. He's out there where the fear is. He's out there where the unbelief is. So you got to stay confident in God so you can stay in the place that when you come to that open door, or you come to that opportunity, you're prepared to receive what God has already made ready for you. I heard a message years ago by Joseph Garlington, and his message was, God is getting you ready for what he already has ready for you. And I want you to know, God has all things ready for you. In Galatians chapter 2, it says, For through the law I died to the law, that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith, what? In the Son of God. I live my life with my faith in Jesus, his work, what he did on Calvary, what he did in his death, burial, and resurrection. What he does today has been seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me, my advocate, my intercessor, my coming king, the one I can depend on. My faith is in him. And that's what it's all about. Just keep your faith in him. Keep your faith in him. I won't go to hell because he went for me. I don't have to have sickness because he carried him for me. I don't have to be poor because he became poor, that I might be rich. It's what the book says. I know that word scares some of you, but it's in the Bible. And so we want to keep our faith in him. And that's what the world's trying to take away. They want us to doubt him. Everything God stands for, the world is challenging. From marriage to how you raise your kids to health to whatever it is, they want you to get your eyes, and they want you to make the government, the world around you, God. But you got to keep your focus. My faith is in Jesus. There is no other name under heaven whereby a man can be saved. Amen. Well, I want you to know that salvation includes a lot more than being born again. There's a lot of defeated born again people. I'm sorry, I hate to say it, but it's true. God don't want us defeated. When you're defeated, I heard Billy Graham say this. He says, if you're a Christian and you're defeated, you're a monster to God. And I'm thinking, what? He goes, yeah, because God said you're more than a conqueror. You're totally opposite of what God said you are. We are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. There is no weapon formed against me that shall prosper, and every tongue raised against me in judgment, I shall condemn. For that is the heritage of the of those that are in Christ. I messed that verse up. I pray that verse every morning. I can't believe I messed it up. I pray it over myself. Amen. There is no weapon formed against me that shall prosper. For every tongue raised against me a judgment I can condemn. For this is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and my righteousness is of him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. But the thing is, we got to keep it. See, Satan wants to distract us. And you know, as friend, if I ask you a question about the Bible, most of you that have sat in this church for years, you know the answer. You can regurgitate the answer. You know what I'm saying? You can throw up the answer. Just because I have the answers don't mean I'm using them. I want you to go over to, I'm going to show you what a faith person, you know, faith is the substance of things. So we know what faith does. But what does a person look like that's in faith? What does that person look like? Well, I'm going to give you a couple of examples that I believe demonstrates a person that's in faith. I want to start with Proverbs 3. And we're going to start with verse 5. So, you know, I'm one of these people. I want to inherit everything that's for me. I have access to everything, but I don't need everything. I can only drive one car at a time. We got a bigger house than we need. We bought a house and so that when our kids come visit us, they have a place to stay. Well, two or three times a year, they'll show up. You know, that's just the way it is. And so we have a home. We have a wonderful home. We have cars we drive. We have nice enough clothes, and we don't like them. We can get more. You know, I mean, it is what it is. But I don't need everything. I just need what I need. I can have, it's all available, but, you know, to me, people that want to live their whole life trying to accumulate how much stuff they can get, I wonder, I mean, how many cars you need? How many houses you need? How many, you know, and I'm not against you having houses, okay, so everybody relax. My point is, everything I have need of, God has provided. And I have some things I don't need. I have two cows and two calves. I do not need them. I get to feed them. Okay? And they don't go away. Every morning they're out there looking at me. Looking for me. But my wife calls it my hobby. It's a pretty expensive hobby. But God lets me have it, and I'm grateful, and I appreciate it, and I'm blessed, and I have a wife that tolerates an eccentric old man that wants cows. Okay? I'm grateful. But you know, the truth of it is, just because I have inherited everything, I don't need everything, because what would I do with everything? But I've inherited it. Amen? Look what it says here in Proverbs 3 and verse 5. A man of faith, first thing he does is he trusts in the Lord. Now listen to this, with all your heart. In other words, we keep the other idols out of our life, right? Because there's always things trying to become an idol in our life. Trust in the Lord, okay? So the first thing a man of faith does is he trusts in the Lord. Is with all his heart. And he leans not to his understanding. So what has he done? He's renewed his mind, right? The way God thinks and the way the world thinks are not the same way, right? The world says two men can get married. We know they're screwed up. Don't misunderstand me. You can stand in front of the judge, a rabbi, a priest, and a minister, and it won't make you married because God set the parameters of marriage. He said between a male and a female. He set the parameters, and only he can change it, and I haven't had a memo from him saying it's been changed. Now, I'm not against anybody. I don't want to be mean to nobody. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying the way God sees the world and the way we see it are not the same. So we got to change the way we see so we see like God sees, right? We lean not to our own understanding. So a man of faith has renewed his mind so his understanding becomes God's understanding. Right? He said, Jesus, what did Paul write to the Romans? He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The world forms you, God transforms you. The word form means to press into something. Don and I both have poured concrete. You set the form, right? And then you put it in there. And then when you remove the form, what's in the form looks like the form. The world wants to push us into their form. And that's what they're trying. But Jesus comes inside of us through the Word of God and Holy Spirit. He transforms us from the inside out. And we change from the caterpillar to the butterfly. Amen. It starts on the inside out. Rules, regulations does not change people. I raised three boys. When I was around, they were pretty good. When I wasn't around, it wasn't always the same. So apparently they were conformed and not transformed. When they were around me, they conformed. When they got away from me, they went back to their old way of thinking or their way of thinking. So that can happen to us in church, right? We go to church, we conform, and we're grateful that we come down here. We know how to act. We know, you know, we know what to do, and we're grateful for that. But we leave here, we go home, then what? We go to the job, we go to these places. So if you're just being conformed, you come to church and you conform. You go to work and then you conform. You get around your buds and you conform. See, because that's what conform does. But transform starts on the inside out. Amen. What I am is what I am. Me and Pi-Pi. I am's what I am's. You know what I mean? It's like starts on the inside. For the young people that probably don't know who Pi-Pi is. But anyway. But the thing is, when you're in faith, you trust, right? You understand him. And in all your ways, you do what? You acknowledge him. To me, that's the key. That's the key. There's a God way and there's a world way. Could I get Matthew 6:33 up there in the Amplified? Is that possible? I guess it's not possible. Anybody got an Amplified Bible? All right. Sorry about that, buddy. 33. It's okay. It's called church. Been here, done this. In 6:33 in the Amplified, it says this. Thank you, buddy. Didn't mean to put you on the spot like that. It says, but seek, aim at, and strive after. First of all, his kingdom and his righteousness. And here's the key. His way of doing. And being right. So he's telling me that if I ain't doing it his way, I'm not right. It says, and then all these things taken together will be given you besides. And what the things were the promises earlier in the chapter. Your needs being met, being clothed, all those things. And so I want you to know this. Whatever you've got in life, there's a God way.
Amen.
There's a God way. How you treat your wife, there's a God way. How you raise your children, there's a God way. How you work on a job, there's a God way. Your attitude, there's a God way. One of my greatest sins was my attitude. You can do all the right things and have a sucky attitude. Come on. There are just some folks I don't want to hang out with. Oh, brother, you ought to be more spiritual. You're right. I realize that, but God's begun the good work in me, and God will finish the good work.
Amen.
He's begun it, and he'll finish it, because I'm going to keep my trust in him. So my point for bringing this out in Proverbs is he says here, and it says, in all your ways acknowledge him. You know, how do you acknowledge God? By doing, acknowledging him. I had a mama, if you didn't acknowledge my mom, you knew it didn't work out for you. I wasn't raised like kids today. I mouthed off one time and then you was going to get slapped. Now I know I'm not advocating slapping. Unless that little rug rat needs it. But I just want you. But my mom, it was like, you mouthed off to my mom. You only did it one or two times, and then you had a red face. And I grew up and I got cool. I got cool, man. So I mouthed off to her, and she went like that, and I raised my hand to block it. And so she brought her hand down like she was going to, she'd come down and pop you in the belly. Hey, my mom was a tough lady. But she'd pop you. So I got where she'd do that, and I'd come down here, and then she'd come right back up. But you acknowledged her. You didn't talk back to her. You didn't treat her that way. That wasn't how she did it. That wasn't her way. And, you know, that's in the natural. See, we get this idea that we cannot acknowledge God and still come out in a good place. How does that work? I don't see how that works. And he said, acknowledge him in all your ways, not just the ones that you want. Hey, I got to acknowledge, have you ever been mad driving at somebody and just chose not to flip them off? You did it God's way. See, because if we're not careful, we make it so big, and it gets simple. How you respond, how you treat your children, how you treat your wife, how you treat people. Amen? Or, and I know this is not popular, but do I acknowledge God with my finances? Do I acknowledge God with my time? And you know, in my life, I got time to, I watch TV. But there's just some things I don't watch. I'll be sitting there, and we'll be watching something, and something will come up, and we'll turn it off because the God in me is like, this ain't good. Because whatever I watch, he has to watch. I can't see the Spirit of God in me with his hand over his eyes. So I have to change the channel. So acknowledging God is a lot more than just saying I believe in Jesus. It's acknowledging him daily in the very small things of my life. Come on. So he says here, a man of faith trusts in the Lord. He leans not to his own understanding. He acknowledges God. Listen to this. He acknowledges him. And listen to this. And he shall what? Direct your path. Your provision is on your path. Remember God came to Abraham and said, take your son, your only son, up on Mount Moriah and offer him there? The provision was on Mount Moriah, not on Mount Nebo. There's another mountain in the area. If he'd have been on Mount Nebo, he'd have killed his son. Because the provision was on Mount Moriah. Sometimes the reason we're short on provision is we're on the wrong mountain. It isn't that God hasn't met our need. We're in the wrong place. If we will acknowledge him, what does he do? He directs our path. And he makes sure we're in the right place at the right time so we can inherit the promise. We can step through the door. We can get what God has for us. But it comes out of acknowledging God. And you know what? I know better. God, I know better than God. I'm smarter than God. God don't understand. And then we live. I got people that said in my church, and they wouldn't say that, but they live that out every day. And they always live in a state of lack. And you can never convince them. But we got to acknowledge him. All right. So a man of faith trusts God, doesn't lean to his own understanding. He acknowledges God in all his ways. And God does what? He directs his path. Go to Psalms 37. Psalms 37. That's right. Psalms comes before Proverbs. And let's start with verse 1. Thank you. I'll give you an offering later. I should have started this timer here. Look what it says here in Psalms 37. Do not fret because of evildoers. Now, see, some of you are already under conviction. With everything going on in the world, living in America, it's pretty easy to fret over evildoers, right? But he tells me not to do that. He says, do not fret because of evildoers. So you got to acknowledge God in that area. You catch it from what we just talked about? God's way of doing, he said, don't fret. Well, that puts us, he tells us in other places in the Bible not to worry. Don't that put you on the spot? Look what he says is, it says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of workers of iniquity, for they will soon be cut down like the grass, and they will wither as green herbs. Okay, this is what a man of faith does. He trusts in the Lord. Right? A man of faith, he trusts in the Lord. He does good. He dwells in the land. In other words, he stays where God puts him. It amazes me how God changes his mind so often. I'm with you, Pastor. We're in this to the bitter end, and 2 months later, they're there to, well, God's been speaking to me, and he's leading me over here. How many people have come to me and said God told them to leave only to find out 6 months later they're in a divorce? Or their kids have gone stupid. But they were going to follow God. When you're following God, it doesn't get worse. It gets better. Right? But it's easy to throw it out. Well, God said. I'm pretty slow to say God. Now, when it comes to the Bible, God said. But I'm pretty slow on the other because, there's so many prophets on YouTube. There's more prophets than people. And them boys must live at the throne of God. They got a new prophecy every 30 minutes. Elijah had come and he'd say something. You wouldn't see him again for 20 years. No one wanted to see him. What's he going to say this time? But we got, and I'm not against prophets. I believe in prophets. I'm just saying the Bible said in the last day there'd be lots of false prophets. And the reason there's lots of false prophets is because nobody's being held responsible. Some of these jokers, the world was going to end because we had an eclipse. It's like, have you lost your mind? Are you kidding me? We get caught up in this stuff, and I'm not, God forgive me, but I'm not against anybody. I just, it's too bad some Christians check their brain in they check it out when they get saved. You still have a brain, and we ought to use it some. It's like the Bible's, God's not flaky. Some of his folks are, but he's not. But hey, we all got those people in the family. They're still in the family, though. They're still family, okay? It says, trust in the Lord, do good, and listen to this, feed on his faithfulness. A man of faith will, when I say mankind, ladies, men, people, humans, it says, feed on his faithfulness. God is faithful. Amen. Okay? And then he says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you what? Desires of God. So I believe the desires that come into my heart come from God. And I love the next verse. And it says, and commit your ways, other ways, do it God's way, and he will bring it to pass. In other words, you don't have to work at it. I heard this years ago from somebody. He said it was a sweatless anointing. You just obey. You don't have to spend your whole life trying to make it happen. No, you just follow the Lord. You just walk in his ways. And when you got an area of your life that's not what it's supposed to be, you work on getting it changed. That's all you do. You don't condemn yourself. You don't criticize yourself. You go to a throne that you can only find grace and mercy at. There's no judgment at the throne for us as believers. The Bible said, come boldly to the throne of grace and you will obtain mercy and find grace to help. You don't find judgment at the throne room. Judgment comes from the adversary. Mercy and grace comes from God. It doesn't mean, don't misunderstand me. There'll be a day when God pours out his judgment because people rejected Jesus. But today we go to a throne room that's filled with mercy and grace. I need it. But the thing is, you got to correct those areas of your life that's not lined up with God. Don't live sloppy lives. Amen. It's legalism. Yeah, okay. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness. Now, I want you to think of righteousness as your right standing with God. He will bring forth your right standing. Don't you think being connected to God ought to have some kind of impact on your life? I would think it ought to have some impact on our life. We shouldn't be the statistics. This is church. We shouldn't be the statistics. Now, don't misunderstand me. Whatever's happened in your past, leave it there. Anybody, you have a dog? Any of you ever had a dog? Are your dogs all city dogs? Well, I got a farm dog. Farm dogs goes out and finds dead things and drags it up. And then wallows in it. It's a good oaky word there. He wallows in the dead. Some Christians remind me of my dog. They're always dragging up their past, which is dead, and they wallow in it. He said, forgetting those things that are behind you, you go forward. If you got a bad marriage, leave it in the past. And ladies, when you get married, don't compare your new husband to your old husband. If he was that good, you should have kept him. Don't do that. Men, don't compare your wife today with maybe one you had before. Don't do that. Leave the past in the past. Let's go forward. Let's go. Forgetting those things that are behind us, let's go. So I'm not standing up here to judge anybody. I'm just saying, hey, we blew it. All right. But we don't have to keep blowing it. We can change. Come on. We can be conformed to what God. And it all starts with the simplicity of just doing something God's way. I'm going to give you a test. You ready? A kind word, come on, turns away wrath. So if the other person's mad, your part is what? The kind word. Boy, that sounds good, don't it? Tell you're in the middle of it. But see, what I'm saying is that's what it says. It says a kind word will turn away wrath. When Sandy and I first started hearing the faith message and confession and all that, we decided we'd help each other out. And I never got to help her, but boy, she could help me. What I mean is she got on it and she did it. She did it. I'd open my mouth and she'd call it. She said, I believe you're going to receive just what you said. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And I don't know about you, but in the middle of that moment, I just wanted to say, just shut up. Just leave me alone. Don't bother me in my moment of carnality here. And I know none of you are like that, but that's my pride would rise up and I'm ready to, you know, and she's just trying to help. And we had an agreement. It takes effort to change. And you got to be willing to take a rebuke sometime. And pride don't like rebukes. Or at least my pride don't like it. Maybe you got different pride than I got. But I don't like it. But my point is, if we really want to be people of faith, and we really want to get our hopes manifested in our lives, and us really enjoy the life God has for us, we got to learn to not just talk about faith, but become the person that looks and acts like a person of faith. The man who trusts in the Lord. He doesn't lean to his own. I understand. Yeah, but you don't understand. My problems are bigger than your problems. Come on. If you was going through what I was going through, you wouldn't. You know, okay. Here's the bottom line, my friend. We're going to leave here in a little bit. I'm going to go to my life. You're going to go to yours. If your life sucks, you're going to live with it. Not me. I'm going to go to the life that I build. And I'm not putting anybody down. That's just the way. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, so shall he reap. Now, for us, that ought to make us want to dance in the streets. Because we've been sowing good seed. Amen? And a good harvest is coming. But if your face turned upside down and it's like, we know what you've been sowing. And that's on you. I mean, the Bible's clear. And here, I'm one of these nuts. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. It's true in 2024, and it's higher than his name. So what it says, he says his word is higher than his name. You know why? Because your word gives quality to your name or doesn't. If your word's no good, you're no good. So God said, my word is higher than my name, because his word gives his name its authority. So his word's true. Amen? And it'll work for you. And you know what's cool about it? You don't have to be pretty or ugly or tall or short or fat or thin or have hair or don't have hair. None of them things matter. You just have to have faith. Amen? You just have to have faith. Just keep your confidence in him. And your hopes will be manifested, and then your heart won't be sick. And there's too many Christians with sick hearts. God don't want that. Your Father loves you. Amen? All right. Thank you very much. Thanks for being such a great audience.